You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
A few negative things happening in the world and all that stuff. The future is looking relatively bright, I think. You know, there's a lot to look forward to in 2017. Yeah. A lot of good movies, a lot of good books, you know.
Books?
Yeah, but I don't fucking know. You don't read? I read.
Name a book. What book?
I'm reading right now, Man in the High Castle.
No, I mean, name a book coming out in 2017.
I don't fucking know.
Exactly. call that
I'm trying to sound like I'm well-educated, all right? Like, I'm worldly. All right, we're going to talk about video games, goddammit. This is a video game show. We're going to talk about all the video games we're looking forward to in 2017, John being a stick in the mud. All right, whatever.
I'm just saying, I don't read.
Yeah,
unless it has pictures.
I don't read. I don't like need the pictures. Need those. There's plenty of good comics coming out in 2017.
There we go.
Can't wait for that. But yeah, as you know, this is We Are Era, blah, 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 blah. We're going to start with the news segment. We don't have that many news stories. You know, it's been dead these kind of last few weeks.
Yeah, this is just a shorter episode to let us kind of catch up over the holidays.
Yeah.
Big New Year's Eve hangover going on. Mm-hmm. So,
what are you talking about? I've been drinking water the entire time.
I know, because I'm hungover. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But so that this episode, just a couple of news stories.
Yeah.
And then we'll kind of, I really just want to look forward and see what's coming out in 2017.
Be positive.
What are we excited about?
You gotta be happy. You gotta be positive.
Because I gotta look for shining rays of light somewhere.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, absolutely. But yeah, let's get right into it. So we have the NPD numbers for November. So November is traditionally one of the biggest months of the year for video game sales. While that was certainly true again this year, total sales in the U.S. were $1.97 billion compared with $875.7 million in October. Sales were down significantly compared with last year. That $1.97 billion is 24% drop from November 2015 when total sales were $2.6 billion. The bulk of that comes from the 35% decline in hardware sales. $723.8 million, down from $1.12 billion. Portable hardware grew. 3DS sales were up 59% year-over-year, but that was offset by PS4 and Xbox One declines. No specific sales figures were shared except for the NES Classic Edition, which sold 196,000 units. Total spending on accessories was down only 6% to $259.8 million from $277.1 million. Interactive gaming toys, covering things like LEGO Dimensions, Skylanders, and Amiibo figures, were down 49%. That thing is dying. The overall category was likely boosted by the inclusion of PlayStation VR headsets sold at retail. The DualShock 4 was the month's top-selling controller, while Xbox One Elite controller sales were up 46% year-over-year.
Wow, actually. That's the expensive one, isn't it?
That's like the one that's like maybe like
$100. Like a scuff controller with the bumpers on the back.
Mm-hmm.
Also, on that Amiibo thing, I've seen so many pictures of just like hordes and hordes of Amiibo. I went to Best Buy and they're just like, please take this Amiibo. I don't want Ryu anymore. Take it.
Software sales were down as well, declined 18% to $955.2 million from $1.17 billion. Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, despite its sales, is still reached a top spot on the NPD sales charts. Dishonored 2 is the biggest November release not to make the top 10.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy 15, which also didn't chart, was released on November 29th after the NPD's report period ended on November 26th, so we don't really know how well Final Fantasy 15 is sold, which I imagine it's sold respectably. I'm going to say that at this point. But and we're just going to kind of start from the best-selling game all the way down to number 10. So the best-selling game, number one, of course, was Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. I'm gonna eventually play it. I got my GameFly account. It's on my queue. I'm gonna play that, and I'm not gonna poo-poo it. I want
to
try.
I just really like
an open mind.
I really like to poo-poo things.
I know you do. Number two was Battlefield 1, which we both enjoyed. Number three was Pokemon Sun, and number four was Pokemon Moon. I want to play Sun more than Moon. You know why I want to play? You know, it's the image on the box, huh?
Because of the lion guy.
Yeah, because the lion.
Yeah, I always pick the cooler character on top. Because the game's the same.
I mean, it pretty much is, except, well, I guess in a certain case, like, it's mostly at night and moon, which is weird.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like mostly, like, I remember.
Does that affect gameplay?
It does.
Okay.
Well, it affects, like, I don't know, just the way people, like, react in this world. So, in Pokemon Moon, I'm going to get back to this, but, like, Pokemon Moon, It's like, there's this one instance when you're, because, you know, you're a kid, you're moving to this new place, and you're with your mother, you're a single mother, I don't know.
All the dads are dead.
All the dads are dead, like, or the degenerates.
The instant you, like, see the sun, mm-hmm. you just die.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like Beast Universe. It's like Beast Universe.
But, like everyone wakes up at night. Like, the mother goes, oh, wow, this is going to be a great night. Even she slept all day long. Is what, she a day drinker or something? It's like, Mom, what are you talking about? We got to unpack everything. It's fucking weird. That's why Pokemon Sun at least makes sense. So, and it has a lion, and Pokemon Moon, I don't know what the hell that thing is on the cover. It looks like a lamp. I don't want a lamp.
Did you get X or Y last time?
I got Y because...
Yeah,
because
the bird looked cool.
Yeah, and cause I don't want a deer. I hate deer. Deer fucking suck.
Deer scare me.
Yeah, they make a horrible noise, too. You ever hear them when they make a noise?
It's like,
I can't even, it's like, oh, it's awful.
The only time I've ever gotten in a car wreck was one time I was driving home from an internship. Mm-hmm. It's like dusk. Yeah. I'm going 60 because it's the highway, so I have to, like a country highway. I just see a deer, like, come out of a tree, and I, like, in my head.
Towards
Matt, No, just across the road. And in my head, mathematician guy, I'm like, there's a truck over there. So if I move, he's going to hit me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to avoid this deer. So I just kind of like brace and just break and go, okay.
Yeah.
And then it just, luckily it jumps over and like hits nothing but windshield and like flips over. But ever since then, I see a deer. Anytime I'm on like a country highway where it starts getting dark, I'm going 20 under. Mm-hmm. Fuck you, deer. I know you can't listen, but I just want you to know I fucking hate you and I hope you die.
And they're carriers of Lyme disease and ticks.
What do they do? What do deer do?
Deer suck. I don't care. There's too many of them. I'm not a hunter, but you can hunt deer.
I could never. I could never kill a deer. But yes, you please do it.
I could do it.
Use your guns for something.
But yeah, moving on from that. So Pokemon Sun Moon. Number
five. That's how we got there.
Yeah. Very weird. Number five, Titanfall 2. Number six, NBA 2K17. Number seven, Madden NFL 17. Number eight, Watch Dogs 2.
Really want to play that.
So do I. I had that in my queue, my Gamefly queue. Number nine, Elder Scrolls 5, Skyrim. And number 10, FIFA 17. Now, Pokemon Sun and Moon and Skyrim digital sales were not counted.
Why again? Have I asked you every time?
NPD, they don't tell you why. They just, for whatever reason. Maybe it's because the publishers didn't release that.
Okay. Did you buy Pokemon digital? Like, do you do that?
I haven't bought it yet.
Oh, I thought
I saw gameplay comparing Sun and Moon and how fucking weird it is that, like, Moon just takes place all during the night. It's just odd.
I am interested. I'm always interested in a Pokemon game, but never beat them.
Yeah.
But I heard, like, Sun and Moon have a sort of... more finality to them than the others. Like, they feel just like a game you play and then beat and you don't really return to.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I am interested in those because I think that's what is weird to me about Pokemon. I'm just like, when is it done, really?
From what I've seen with Sun and Moon, it has probably the the strongest narrative of any of the Pokemon games.
Yeah.
Like, you know, red, blue, you know, silver, gold. You don't find them. You got to collect them all. Collect
I think because at this point, there's no way you're catching them all.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, at this point, I think there's like close to like 800 of them. Now it's like, oh, Jesus, you're never going to collect them. But yeah, they have more of a narrative of this. And that's part of the reason why I'm kind of worried about playing it, because some of the text and the writing is awful. It's really bad. I just like...
They're baby games, though.
I know. They're babies for RPG, but it's just like... It's like, we'll get into it. I think, from what I've seen, I'm concerned, but if we ever do review it, we'll get into it then. But, I mean, probably the thing that stands out to me right now...
Is that NBA's above Madden?
Yeah, that.
Or that FIFA's at the bottom.
Clearly. I mean, one, the fact that, you know, Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, number one, that's no surprise, but the fact that it's sold soft compared to other Call of Duties, compared to, especially, I think, last year's Black Ops 3, which sold extremely well.
I'd be very interested, one, to know how close they are.
Mm-hmm.
But also, come December, what game did people ask for Christmas? Yeah. I think that's going to kind of tell like which one do people still want.
That'll be interesting. In December will be really interesting. Yeah,
Titanfall 2 still in there though somehow.
Titanfall 2 went up. It was, I think, either 8 or 9.
You think all the good buzz from people?
I think so. I mean, it's very positive.
Yeah, it has gotten good buzz. I haven't heard anyone...
Not a game of the year, you know.
Which has been strange. I have seen that, actually. And it did turn me around. I was like, I might...
You know, we'll be such a curmudgeon.
Might buy that Titanfall 2.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm gonna use my Gamefly account. And I'm going to rent it and see how it is. I'm excited for it. Now that the fact that it has gotten such positive buzz that it was, you know, top five for a lot of people of the year. I mean, I think that's great.
And I must say, we are not sponsored by Gamefly. No. But if you want to, Chris seems like a big proponent. So Gamefly, if you listen.
Yeah, we'll see.
I do want to say, I did play Madden over the holiday break because my dad got an Xbox and he got Madden. It's fun. It's like a really good Madden. The running game is a little difficult, but they run the yards after catch, like the after catch game. Super fun. Like I can spin and do. I know you have no idea what I'm talking about.
I'm looking at you.
But it's like fun. Silent. It's fun, and I also beat my dad and brother in these games, and I never do.
Do I get to play as John Madden at any point?
I don't actually know if he ever played. He was a good coach, though.
Is he? It's named after him, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's named
is
after
he in him. It? Is he in it? Is his voice?
I think as a commentator, yeah.
Does he circle stuff a lot? Because he's big on that. He loves circling things.
I don't... No, he doesn't. Not in this game.
That's
no.
disappointing. Okay.
I'm sorry.
All right. But other than, yeah, Madden NFL 17. Yeah, one, Pokemon Sun and Moon. I think this is the fastest selling Pokemon game. It's like it's charted significantly more than X and Y did. And I think the other previous generation. So, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
it's also coming out really late in the 3DS generation. Like,
yeah,
3DS. So I think everyone kind of has a 3DS, mm-hmm. so maybe it's just a wider palette for them.
Yeah.
To like finally, everyone's just going to get Pokemon.
It's the last one for the 3DS, yeah. The last big one. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's a port, though, for the Switch.
What do you call the third one? I just thought about that.
Sun, Moon.
Was there a Pokemon Z?
I always thought there would be, but there isn't.
Huh.
I thought, oh, it's obvious it's going to be Z will be the best of, but yeah. It's like, no. And I was really surprised by that.
There was a was there a gray? No, there was just black. Huh.
Black,
did they just
white.
Stop doing
then
that?
They did black, white, and then they did black, white, two.
Okay.
Like black, two, and white was weird.
They could have done X squared and Y squared.
Yeah.
Oh. Math.
Mm-hmm. Hey. A lot of math. Hey. Remember that Dusk? I don't know, Pokemon Dusk? Pokemon
but that's
Evening? So there's no... It's in between, you know, the Pokemon... Sunset? I don't fucking know. Sunset is combination. It's gonna be night, but it's still sunny. We'll see what happens. The other thing that
lunar
stands
eclipse.
Out, yeah. Oh, that'd be Pokemon Eclipse.
Mm.
That'd be really good.
There you go.
Yep.
Give me there that money.
Yeah,
game,
give me
freak.
Money. and then, of course, the other big thing that stands up to me is Elder Scrolls V, Skyrim, is on there. I mean, the fact that you know we're just gonna release this game again, and you're all gonna buy it. It's like.
Yeah. I did buy it.
I did buy it too. I'm looking forward to playing it. Eventually, I'm going to get back to it. Yeah. I just got to get through a few other titles. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, those are kind of the big things that stood out to me. Anything else from this list? Nope.
Watch Dogs 2.
Yeah, Watch Dogs 2.
Cool, I guess. I like FIFA.
Yeah. I'm interested to play Watch Dogs 2 now. The fact that everyone's been so positive about it, it's like,
yeah.
Okay.
I still have Watch Dogs on Xbox One. Haven't played it yet.
You don't need to play. It's fine.
But I got to.
Aiden Pierce, he avenges his dead niece who
just
dies off screen.
Dang it.
I'm not spoiling anything. It happens. No, his niece, before the game starts, his niece is dead.
Does he really get redemption, though?
Oh, no. He just goes after the people that, I don't know, was kind of responsible for her death.
Okay.
Yeah. He's a shitty uncle. He's kind of like a psychopath, honestly. He's not really a good human being. It's like, this guy's weird. It's like, all right. But I am looking forward to Watch Dogs 2. Now, not to get too sad, but, you know, they're the Christmas break, of course, you know, Carrie Fisher passed away. Along with her, like, a day later, her mother, Debbie Reynolds. And, you know, for me, as someone who is...
Wait, really?
Yeah. You didn't hear about Debbie Reynolds also passing away?
I did hear about that. I didn't know that was her mother.
Yeah, yeah.
The next day?
The very next day. Like, less than 24 hours, apparently. Yeah, it was pretty...
Halloween weird. Town, Debbie Reynolds, right?
Yes, it is. Okay. Yes.
What? I'm
of all the things to say, yeah.
I'm a young kid. That's where I know her from.
Yes, that is...
She
was
like in musicals, though, right?
Yes, okay. In the Rain, probably one of her most famous.
Okay. Oh, wait.
In terms of musicals.
Okay, yeah. I didn't know that. I do like La La Land.
Yeah. No, there you go. Yeah. Everyone does. I'm the only one that hasn't seen it yet. But yeah, I mean, she passed away right after Carrie Fisher did. And of course, yeah. Carrie Fisher, best known, obviously, for playing Princess Leia in Star Wars. I mean, recently just came back to play that role again in The Force Awakens. Yeah. She did a really good job. Going to be in Episode 8, going to have an expanded role. But of course, you know, Carrie Fisher, being in Star Wars wasn't the only thing that she was known for. She was also an author. Really some great books. I think she wrote over like a dozen books, kind of talking about her own life, kind of autobiographical to a certain extent.
Good mental health activist.
Yeah, mental health, I guess. Yep. Yeah, I was going to get to that. She you know, she suffered from bipolar disorder. And the fact that she was advocating for mental health and helping people trying to live with it, I think that's...
And be more aware of it.
Be aware.
I think there's a lot of times people just don't want to talk about it. And I think that's what...
But they don't want to understand it. Understand
and especially like during the holidays when everyone's just happy, when you find yourself can't be happy, I think it's more important. Like, it's very important to just, like, kind of take care of yourself. So
yeah.
Small little message.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And of course, she also did, like, a one-woman show for a while, though, which you actually find online at this point, but it's incredible. She was... She was a very funny and very smart person. And I mean, I'm definitely going to miss her. So, you know, but she also did some voice acting. And that was most recently, or actually a few years ago, Carrie Fisher actually did had a minor role in Dishonored. And according to Glixel, Fisher recorded several lines for developer Arkane Studios' stealth game, and her work is well hidden. You have to kill a certain propaganda officer during the Return to the Tower mission. Afterwards, late in the game, you have to pay close attention to spot her voice coming over the public address system in Dunwall, Dishonored's main setting. Fisher tells people not to interfere with the regular transfer of decreased persons to disposal centers in the flooded district, or that any disturbance in the region of Dunwall Tower this evening has been the result of previously scheduled training exercise. Dishonored's creative director, Harvey Smith, paid tribute to Fisher on Twitter, saying that despite her small role, she was gracious, funny, and creatively open. Fisher rarely appeared in video games. Her voice work, besides Dishonored, is only featured in one other title, this year's LEGO Star Wars The Force Awakens. I mean, that was the other thing. Carrie Fisher was also an accomplished voice actress. She kind of followed the same route that Mark Hamill did, and she did some great stuff. I mean, some of my particular favorites was when she guest starred in Family Guy. I mean, really, really funny stuff that she did with them. But here, it's like, I mean, I like the fact that, you know, that she did some voice work for video games, even though it was so small. I would have actually, that could have been a whole other career for her, being a voice actress for video games. She would have been fantastic with that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, I just kind of wanted to bring that up because it's like, see, you know, even, she even had a small impact.
She touched a lot of different people. Yeah. And a lot of different things that I think people might not have known about. Because I really didn't know much about the whole mental health thing until, she had passed. And then she had a lot of good fun. I was watching some old Force Awakens interviews, tours, where she was like, where it's like, you can't get rid of them because you need them for the movie. But also she's like, I'm not going to lose weight. Like, yeah. I'm me. And just like, and just having a lot of fun, telling fun stories and not giving a shit what the press really thought. And you have to admire that. And that's a very strong role model to have, especially going forward. Just like, don't give a shit about media. Don't let anyone tell you what you need to be, who you need to be. And I really loved that aspect about
her. She was very authentic. So thank you, Carrie Fisher, for all that you have done for us. So kind of, you know, moving on right from the news, we're just going to talk about kind of our games that we're anticipating most in 2017. So of course, you know, I mean, we've talked about it before, but one of probably my most anticipated games so far of 2017 is Mass Effect Andromeda. It's hopefully it's coming out this spring. They don't have a definitive release date yet, even though like a couple like months ago they said they'll release like the end of March. I hope that is, because that's Mass Effect has a history of releasing in March, like the third Mass Effect game that came out in March. I think it makes sense. But I mean, from what we've seen, the little that we've seen, it looks fantastic in terms of it's kind of like expanding on everything that like the first Mass Effect did in terms of kind of like open world environments and kind of a focus on exploration, and also kind of fixing the fact that kind of Mass Effect got away from being an RPG and kind of mostly became like a third person kind of action game, third person shooter. Like, it definitely feels like it's a return to those RPG mechanics they originally set out with the original Mass Effect, but including all that really great gameplay from the original Mass Effect series, but also just kind of expanding that way. Like, everything feels more visceral and vertical, which I think is really cool. And again, I just can't wait to find out more about all these different characters and also what the main story is.
As someone who hasn't played through all the Mass Effect games yet, which I'm currently doing, we're going to be reviewing those. I'm really excited about this one because it's kind of its own thing. It is going to be contained in a sense. Yeah. It is the story of these siblings, and they don't really plan to continue their story. And it's
the writer.
Yeah. And it's sort of this comparison I was thinking of between Final Fantasy 15 and Final Fantasy 13 and that trilogy, where it's like, I want to play all the Final Fantasy games, and 15 is really easy because it's just its own thing.
Yeah.
Whereas 13, it's like, I have to play all three of them. And it just, for someone who has such a backlog of so many things, it's hard to, you know, unless we're reviewing it, of course, it's hard to get myself to play all of it. Whereas Mass Effect Andromeda seems like a really good jumping on point. And, you know, you can play through that whole thing, and if you really love them, there's three other games that you can go through again. I'm talking about from the perspective of someone who hasn't played these. But, you know, if you're like, yeah, that was good, maybe not my cup of tea, well, you had it and you're done. And it's like, I think that's a wonderful little treat. And I think it really opens up BioWare to a new type of storytelling. It gives them a new freedom. And I just like games when they have a finality.
Yeah. I mean, Mass Effect 3 certainly had a finality to a certain extent. You know, but
it's like took 9 years. I like this game alone. And then for them, in order to just Mass Effect, a new thing and a new aspect of the universe, it's just to me, it seems more focused, mm-hmm. I guess, in a sense. But then again, I haven't played all three of the Mass Effect games, so I'm talking out my ass.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we'll see. I think you're absolutely right that it needs to be a fresh experience. I think that's what Andromeda is going to definitely be. So. What about you? Is there a particular game that you're particularly looking forward to in 2017?
Yeah, one I don't know much about other than its art style and like some gameplay that I've seen, but Cuphead.
Yeah.
I just really love that aesthetic, these old, I think people have been saying Fleischer type animation. But
yeah, Warner Brothers, kind of classic Warner
yeah,
Brothers.
Yeah, and I used to watch, I don't remember when, I was really little, but I would see the like Homes of Tomorrow Warner and then there's that cartoon where it's a taxi car and then he gets turned into a red speedier
and his dad's a prick.
Saying some.
Yeah.
And then all, of course, and I think I might have clipped this in, but the little owl, I like to sing ya and wag my finger. It just reminds me of that. And even though I didn't technically grow up with I wasn't of that era, I still saw them when I was little, and so seeing this animation is just like, oh, it makes me feel warm and it's I don't know, I just, art styles and these different things have really started to really attract me to games. So it's really something that, one, has been delayed a lot, so I
supposed to come out in 2015.
Yeah, so I've just been really anticipating it since I first saw it, and I hope that it actually comes out this year.
I think it will come out this year. I mean, yeah, the reason why it was delayed was because the original concept of the game was just going to be kind of like boss levels. That's all it was going to be. And then, because people had assumed that, oh, you're also going to do like platforming. It's like, nope. And so they went back in, and then we saw, I think it was this most recent E3 at the Xbox show where we saw Cuphead kind of platforming. And the levels that they showed was actually very simple. And so I'm hopeful that, you know, as someone who's played through all the Mega Man games very recently, it's like, that is some of the best platforming ever. Or even like a Mario game, really. It's like, I hope that they kind of get a little more, those levels a little more robust.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just kind of going in a straight line occasionally.
They didn't like phone it in
to get to the boss. So maybe that's why they took so long. Maybe that's a good thing that it's delayed. I mean, who said with Miyamoto, like a bad video game is, what the fuck's the quote? Like a bad video game is always bad forever, but a delayed game is a chance for it to be good. I fucking paraphrase
something
that
like that.
But something like that. I mean, I'm
the
hopeful.
Sentiment is there.
Yeah, sentiment is there. Hopeful for Cuphead. But probably one game that's coming up very, very soon, this month actually, is Resident Evil 7 Biohazard.
I can't believe it's coming out this month.
It's crazy.
It's snuck up on me.
I have a fear it's like it's going to be delayed. It's going to be like sudden, super thin, like Capcom's like, blah. But yeah, this is what I think the Resident Evil franchise needs. It is such a dramatic departure in terms of what we've seen and from its gameplay and the kind of what the story it looks like it's going to be telling from any of the previous Resident Evil games. Like, I think the most it has in common with is like some of the maybe the first person kind of on rails type thing where it is from that first person perspective. But it seems to be Capcom realizing the mistakes they made with 5 and especially 6. And they're like, we're going to craft a horror experience for gamers. That's what they want. I think they've looked at, you know, games like Amnesia, like Outlast, and all those other types of titles and say, okay, it's going to be based on tension, cramped environments, and we're hopefully going to tell a really fun kind of B-horror movie type, you know, story. And that's all I want at this point from Resident Evil. Just give me a nice, meaty campaign without all this extra shit, you know, all this, you know, multiple weapons and things. Just let it be a fun horror experience. So.
And interesting enough, Outlast 2 comes out this year too, which is a game I'm kind of anticipating, but also I don't want to play.
Yeah,
because maybe I'll just watch Chris play.
You just watch me,
and I'll just like sit there,
eventually do our Let's Play
and yelp a bunch.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I like. It terrifies me. It's too much for me, for my little heart. I'm having chest problems, and I think it's because of Outlast.
There's going to be a lot more genital mutilation in this one too.
Yeah, and I heard it also. I heard it also. Instead of taking the sort of psychotic route, it takes a more religious route this time around.
Yeah.
Religion
played a role in the original.
Yeah, so. But I think I've heard that they're going to kind of like really make that the main focal point.
You're not an asylum this time.
Yeah.
Like it's an open kind of environment.
Okay.
Like a like an Arizona desert or something.
Okay. Like so, weird shit goes out in the desert. So, like, as someone who is very religious, that stuff really affects me from just, like, a terror point of view. Like, I don't fuck with graveyards. I don't do any of that shit because, like, that's real to me. So, like, whatever. But, like, I'm looking forward to see what Outlast can do, and especially stacking up to the big dog in town, Resident Evil, in the same year.
Yeah.
Which game are we going to be talking about come December?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, agreed.
But another one that I'm way too excited for, Tacoma. I don't really know much about it other than it's Fulbright's next game. And if they even do half of what they did with Gone Home narratively, Tacoma's going to be one of my games of the year. Mm-hmm. I really feel like that is going to happen. If you haven't played Gone Home, you really need to. I don't want to hype it up too much because I hate when people hype stuff up. But I know some people don't like walking sims. But to me, it is very... Gone Home is very much about atmosphere and writing and these wonderful little characters. Yeah. And it like made me feel emotion for characters I never saw. So I'm really looking forward to what Tacoma can do. I don't know much about it because I don't want any sort of spoilers. I just want to go in blind. Kind of like when you know you're already going to see a movie and you don't want to see any trailers. Mm-hmm. That's exactly how I'm coming up to Tacoma. So really looking forward to that.
The Tacoma guys, you know, a lot of those people were Irrational Games guys, the guys that worked on Bioshock, mm-hmm. the first Bioshock. And apparently, according to them, Gone Home takes place in the Bioshock universe.
What?
Yeah, like the Andrew Ryan timeline.
Really?
Yeah, and apparently there's something in the house that tells you that. Like there's a hint, like a certain odd, I think it's a book or something. But yeah, it's like, oh, this takes place in Bioshock based on this thing, which is also in the original Bioshock. So it's like,
whoa.
So I blew your mind. I knew something about Gone Home that you didn't. Damn. So I think that's pretty cool. And yeah. I, you know, as someone, I haven't played Gone Home. I've played like maybe I've seen a lot of like kind of Let's Plays and people like talking about it. Like everyone, you've talked about it, other people from different podcasts, and I feel like I've already played it at this point. But you know, I would love to kind of get into their next game and get like a really fresh perspective, see what they're all about. So I'm really excited about that too. Another game I think is kind of flying under the radar, and of course it's by I think one of your favorite developers, Prey, which is being developed by Arkane Studios, who are the makers of Dishonored. You know, Prey, if people remember, was like one of the original Xbox 360 games. It wasn't a launch title, but it was like up there, like 2006, 2007.
One of the first I remember playing.
Yeah, and this...
Rented it when renting was still a thing.
Yeah, I remember that on Blockbuster. Oh my god, I rented a lot of games from Blockbuster back in the day. Spent so much money there. But of course, you know, Prey, I think it was a moderate success at the time. And there was actually going to be a sequel, Prey 2. That got canceled, like, a few years ago, I think maybe like 5 years ago, and kind of went dormant. Mm-hmm. And then whatever happened with that game eventually became this new rebooted version of Prey, where it seems to be have like nothing in common with the previous game whatsoever in terms of just like aesthetic and the kind of the world. And where in Prey, it feels like a combination between The Thing and maybe like 2001, A Space Odyssey, where you play this guy, an Asian protagonist, which I think is unique. We often don't really see many Asian protagonists. I think his name is Yu. And he's kind of like on this space station that's been kind of taken over by this kind of alien infection. And where it's kind of like this amorphous black blob-like creatures and things like that. And they take different forms, kind of like The Thing does. And where sometimes they're giant, sometimes they're small. And I like what they're introducing in this game too, because apparently you can manipulate your own body. So I assume maybe at one point in the game you're infected with this thing, but you can like transform into inanimate objects. Like at one point you could become a cup to get under like to get through like a window hole or something like that. Someone who's like on the other side and then to pick something up and you go back. And, like, it's so weird, and it's like I definitely want to check this out. And as someone who was a fan of the original Prey, to see them going something completely different direction, reinventing it, I think a lot of people are going to be interested in this game when it does finally come out.
Yeah, I have a lot of faith in Arkane Studios, and I think the Austin branch apparently is the one that's been taking on development duties, which is, ATX, right? But I really love the fact that it's an Asian protagonist. Yeah. That was one of the things I really remember about the first Prey, is it was a Native American protagonist, and I think we need more character diversification in video games. So, like, Prey coming from a big studio like Arkane, I'm hyped for that, and Bethesda as well, so, like, big marketing push, I hope, coming from Prey, and I really hope that it can, start a new franchise. Like, you know, it's a new generation. Let's see some new blood. Let's see some new things going on. But moving on, something I forgot to write on our list, but there's two games and I just kind of want to talk about them. Yeah. One's called What Remains of Edith Finch, and the other is called, starts with a G, and I can't remember what it's called.
It's the G game. It's one starts with a G. You guess, listeners. Guards of the Galaxy. Telltale's Guards of the Galaxy. I have to that.
It's Goragoa.
Oh, that's a good one.
And I don't know much about these games. They're very like indie, obtuse games. But the reason I'm excited for them is because they are being published by Annapurna. Annapurna, who you may know more of from film. They've been publishing and distributing films. Annapurna started a new branch, Annapurna Interactive. And these are the first two acquisitions from them. And I'm excited about this because Annapurna is involved with a lot of really good films of the last few years. Yeah. They're right up there with A24. About, you've seen stuff like Moonlight or things like that. That's A24. But like, those people over at Annapurna really know good art. And they can see it. And so to me, seeing them put money behind these two games says they saw something in these things. And I would really love to see both of these games succeed and to see Annapurna's interactive division take off and really, one, have new jobs going in the video game department, video game industry, but also to have a studio I can put to, like, hey, they're really repping the indies. Like, they're putting money behind them and they're looking for these interesting stories. Maybe, you know, I would just love to see a new studio really back these indies because they believe in the vision, not something like, I don't want to call it EA or Activision for doing something, but sometimes I feel like those developers or those studios do that for more of a publicity stunt and not the love of the craft, is whereas I see a name like Annapurna and I think they love these ideas. And so I'm really hoping for success for these two games. If you know about the Unfinished Swan, that's what Remains of the Finch comes
from. That I haven't played it, but I've seen that. Yeah, so. It definitely looks really cool. Probably a game which I'm alone in anticipating, because I think it got a Kickstarter for this game came out a few years ago, but it's kind of gone dormant, which is for Kingdom Come Deliverance.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
And the tagline for the game is...
Kingdom Comes?
Is
it Kingdom Comes?
Is that no, it's not. It's not like a superhero game. It's actually, it's a medieval game where it's, how do they describe it? Dungeons, No Dragons. Where it's
a faithful... Oh, sounds so fun. That's a bad tagline.
It's a faithful... It's basically what they're doing. They're kind of creating this kind of faithful reproduction of a medieval kingdom in Bohemia, which is in Central Europe, kind of the Balkan area. And it kind of, I think it takes place in like the 1300s, and where it's very much kind of like a Bethesda game, where it's an open world environment. You create your character and you go out into the world to do your all kinds of adventures. And I like those kind of games. And I have a lot of respect for these people because they're going for it. They're trying to make something really big, and that's kind of different in terms of what we expect from, you know, fantasy RPGs or I guess period piece RPGs. So this is a period piece RPG, which we really don't. There is no genre for that. It's a subgenre in itself, and I think that's really unique. And from what I've seen, and it was early concept footage, and some of it looks rough, but I just like the whole premise of it. And it's just something that I'm really interested in seeing. You know, it's coming out, I think, for all major platforms, PS4, Xbox One, and PC. So it could be something there.
Another one I'm looking forward to is the Friday the 13th game. Okay. Also a Kickstarter project. Yeah. If you're a fan of something like Left 4 Dead or Evolve, these things that are doing weird things with multiplayer. Yeah, that's basically what Friday the 13th was going to be.
Yeah.
Then they added, it should have come out already, but they delayed development because they added a single player campaign.
Oh, I had no idea
about that. Yeah, they're working on a single player campaign. So I'm very interested to see what that is and like what this game is going to be. I haven't seen any real clips about it other than like, I think an image or two.
Yeah.
With Jason in it. But, I mean, if this could take off, what could that mean for, like, the other franchises? My favorite Michael Myers, like...
That'll be DLC.
Yeah, that would be sweet.
I want the Freddy Krueger DLC, where you get to, become, like, Worm Freddy or Long Arm Freddy.
A Freddy game could be really cool.
I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I've always maintained, I think, of those classic slasher people... Like monsters, I think Freddy Krueger is by far the best. Because he's so different from everybody.
I mean, he's a jokester by the second one. He's kind of like goofy ass.
Like, first one, I kind of like that he talks back to them. It's prime time, bitch.
Have you seen the Rick and Morty episode where they make fun of him? She's like, man, he sure does say bitch a lot.
Bitch, I'm gonna get you, bitch. what's he called? Not Freddy. He's called Scary Terry. Scary Terry. Oh, God, I love it. Yeah. I want a Freddy Krueger game. That's what I want. Another game that I think a lot of people aren't really talking about that I'm excited for, surprising because I don't like the developer at all, or at least their output, is Nioh, which is being created by Team Ninja, who are best known for kind of the hack and slash ninja guiding games. Not the classic NES ones, but the hack and slash ones.
The one on the Xbox.
The original Xbox.
I really liked that one. It was hard as hell. But
it was hard as hell.
Way too hard.
As someone who was a fan of those original ninja guiding games, I was like, I don't like it.
Was Team Ninja's last project the Metroid Other M? Was that them? Or was that original head of Team Ninja?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
I'm going to look that up while you keep talking.
But the reason why I'm excited for Nioh is because it's a samurai version. I was going to say Japanese version of Dark Souls. Of course, the Japanese developer made Dark Souls, but it's a samurai version of Dark Souls where it's going to incorporate kind of those same gameplay mechanics that, you know, Dark Souls and Bloodborne are best known for, but it's providing a cool kind of feudal Japanese and mythological Japanese aesthetic to it. And as someone who just loves those games, even though they can be difficult and obtuse and frustrating, they're so rewarding. And as someone who, you know, has been a fan of, even though I haven't played Dark Souls 3 yet, I cannot wait to jump into this, even more so than Dark Souls 3, because of its aesthetic, because of its world. I think it's interesting. And we again, exploring the mythological side of an Eastern culture, I think is cool.
Yeah, I actually haven't gotten an opportunity to dive into the Dark Souls franchise or Bloodborne, but I just got Bloodborne for the holidays, and I got Dark Souls Sins of the First Scholar or something.
That's Dark Souls 2,
but defunct.
Which gets a bad rap, but it's good.
Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to getting into those. Yeah, I'm probably going to play Dark Souls 2 before Bloodborne, because I heard Bloodborne's better. I'm looking forward to that. Dark Souls. But I do want you to know that Team Ninja did have a hand in Metroid Other M, so if that dampens your excitement.
I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of their output, but I like that this is so different from their other games in the concept, and again, the world aesthetic looks really cool. So,
something else I wanted to point out was Crackdown 3. I know Crackdown 2 wasn't like good.
No, but, even Microsoft admitted to that. They said we made a mistake.
So, like them admitting that they know they made a mistake with Crackdown 2 makes me think with the third one they're gonna go, okay, we're gonna go back to the first one. The first one is one of those underrated gems that I love. People bought it for the Halo 3 beta.
Yeah.
I got it after that, like at a Hollywood Blockbuster video or whatever, for like $10. I got so many hours of gameplay just jumping. It was one of my favorite superhero games.
Collect those orbs.
Yeah. It was a collectathon, basically, but just jumping from building to building.
Yeah, like, super soldier.
I'm just really looking forward to getting to do that again in Crackdown 3.
Yeah, same. I didn't put it on kind of my list of things I'm anticipating because I just haven't seen any gameplay of it. We've just kind of seen, like, unless it's some like early concept stuff that leaked, but we've just kind of seen trailers for it. So I am anticipating it, but I'm also kind of scared that they haven't shown anything of it. So hopefully it's going to be good. Hopefully they'll show it soon. Another game I'm actually really excited for that most people aren't talking about is Pyre. It's being developed by probably one of my favorite video game developers out there, which is Supergiant Games, who are the makers of Bastion, which is, oh my God, I love that game so much. I'm going to replay it because it just came to Xbox One in December. So I cannot wait to be able to review that. We got to review that sometime. And also they're makers of Transistor, which is a lesser version. It's good. But even though I know next to nothing about Pyre, it's definitely different in terms of its gameplay style. Kind of made me a little more similar to Transistor, but it has all the elements that Supergiant Games is known for. It's going to have a great score. It has a wonderful kind of aesthetic and art, and I'm sure that it's going to be just one of those things that I'm going to remember at the end of the year. So
Pyre made me remember Below.
Yeah, that game that never came out.
The game from Capybara. Is that coming out this year?
I don't even know. It was announced like years ago.
Yeah, that was like a game I was super excited for.
It's for Xbox, right?
Yeah, it was an Xbox exclusive. One of those, one of their indie titles from the people who made Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery and then Super Time Force.
Yeah.
I don't even know if that game comes out this year, but if it doesn't,
I don't even know.
But my last one that I really wanted to talk about was Persona 5.
Okay.
Persona 4 is a great JRPG, which is on the Vita, And unfortunately, I just, when I have a handheld, I can't sit and really commit to the RPG, like, at that time. Mm-hmm. And I just really had that problem with Persona. And I also came to it so late.
Yeah.
So that by the time I got to it, there were so many other things that were on my mind. Whereas I'm really hoping with Persona 5, I think April is when it's due out. Mm-hmm. I can get on the ground floor and just, this, it's really about your character interactions, a la like a Mass Effect or something. Just these, the cast of like high school people, Japanese, that you, Japanese high school students demons. Going through cities, and like, there's always a unique way that you unlock demons. I think in 4, it was like, you through your glasses, you were wearing some sort of special glasses. In 3, you kind of shooting yourself in the head. Not great, but still.
Okay, it's weird.
It's an idea.
Well, high schoolers do commit suicide, John.
So yeah, so again, not a great yeah. idea. But Persona 5, I'm just, I'm really glad I have the opportunity to, yeah. and a reason to get it day one and really sink myself into it. And hopefully with it on a console, I'll be able to commit the attention to it.
Yeah.
So yeah, Persona 5, looking forward to that.
You told me that early on that I should check out Persona because it's kind of,
I think it'd be I think it'd be something you would like.
I just totally missed it. I know it came out, like Persona 4 came out for PS2. And then eventually
that's the thing. It's so. Persona 5.
That's why I didn't play it.
Persona 5 is like coming out relatively close to the Japanese release date, which never happens. Atlas loves to put it out after we've already moved on to the next generation. So it's really odd that they're getting this one out on time.
Yeah, it's very weird. Just two more games really quick. Platonic Games, Yooka-Laylee. It's the spiritual successor to Banjo-Kazooie. can't wait for that. I imagine it's going to, hopefully it won't be too much of a collectathon, but there's going to be a lot of collectibles in that. And we haven't really seen a third-person platformer like this in a while. So
I'm hoping that it brings sort of like a resurgence to that. Because I do love third-person platformers so much. Yeah. I love these little,
like when they're good.
Okay, yeah. I love character, colorful, you know, those kind of, that doofy. Genre. Doofy. Yeah, yeah, they're just fun, and I think that's where games should be sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's just an escape to a fun, colorful world, and just let's do that thing. Let's bring back old school Rare, basically.
Yeah,
what I want
to
see.
Yeah, that's what it looks like it's going to be. And then, of course, the last one is South Park, The Fractured Butthole. I mean, that name itself, it's good as a butthole.
Yeah. Comes out.
It is a duty. I love the last South Park game. Crazy because that game was delayed so many times and people were so worried about it, but it turned out to be like
and it was
really
Obsidian,
cool.
right?
Who's it was Obsidian, who I hate. Yes. Who I do not like them at all, but they produced a really good game and I was impressed. They're not doing this one. They're like,
too okay, quick guys. A turnaround time.
Yeah.
We're not going to trust
them. Yeah, we need at least a decade. But yeah, I think it's Ubisoft San Francisco, I want to say, is doing the next one. Yeah, Ubisoft San Francisco and in conjunction with South Park Digital Studios. It looks like they're changing some of the gameplay mechanics in this one, where they're incorporating kind of like a Final Fantasy Tactics kind of like certain thing, where you're going to like place your player-controlled characters at certain parts of like a map.
And like a square? Attack.
Like a square.
Oh, like Fire Emblem.
Yeah, Fire Emblem. Yeah, thank
I
you.
I love the fuck out of Fire Emblem.
Fire Emblem's very good. I think the last one I played was Awakening, I want to say. That was the big one. That's oh my God.
No, that was the only one I've ever played, and that got me into it. Like, I put so many hours into that. I forgot to mention on the Game of the Year thing, but had I played Conquest or Birthright, probably would have ended up on my Game of the Year.
Yeah, I forgot those came out. Yeah. Those are like the Pokemon Sun and Moon of...
Yeah, I hated that it was two games, but still. Gotta get that money.
I guess so. But yeah, I mean, South Park, The Fractured Butthole, I mean, yeah, in terms of gameplay, I'm sure that's going to be fine, but you're in it for the jokes, the humor. And they're riffing on the superhero genre, which is, I mean, there's plenty to make fun.
Is that what this one's about?
Yeah, where you get to, because in the last one, it was basically Dungeons and Dragons, you know, swords and sorcery type thing, where you think you could be...
Dungeons, no dragons.
Dungeons, no dragons, yeah. Very, thanks. Where you can be, it's funny though, because you could be a warrior, a thief, a mage, or a Jew. So I'm like, okay. I was a Jew. Because you get the super dreidel powers and everything. Oh, it's wonderful. And God comes and Moses comes to fight for you. That's great. But in this one, I think it's not as offensive, but I think you can be either like...
I'm sure they'll find plenty ways to offend people.
They can be super strength, a speedster, and I think like a blaster guy. So like energy. But my favorite part that they showed, like, I think it was, at this last E3, which is the demo, was when... Because the boys basically separate because they want to... form their own cinematic universe and they can't agree on anything. And so when, of course, you know, Cartman, he's the ringleader and they eventually leave, like Stan and Kyle and those other guys. He's like, well, you just go make your shitty DC or your shitty cinematic universe DC Comics. And they can, they know exactly what they're getting, doing. So, I mean, I think there's a ton to look forward to. And I think the other thing that's that I'm hopeful for is that maybe there'll be a great game that we don't even know about that's going to potentially come out. Usually that happens.
There's always just random surprises from an indie studio. And sometimes like a game.
Big studio.
Yeah, a game like we know is coming out, have no excitement for it, and it's great, a la Doom.
Yep, exactly.
Like I had no play for Doom, and it's ended up. But hopefully by the time you've heard this, you know how high it is on our list. But yeah, I guess it's end of the episode. But I thought it'd be a good idea to, going forward, 2017, you know, we've got so many big ideas. Just go ahead and get more of a routine. I want to call out my Twitter. I'm #JohnRomo.
Oh, yeah,
I think it's good to start getting this SEO going.
You're right.
So we are Ericast on Twitter as well. And, you know, if you feel free, shoot us an email. We are aeropodcast@gmail.com. If you have your own podcast or anything like that, we'd love to show up, some sort of interacting collaboration. We've already done stuff with UGO, the guys over there. Nick and Travis and as well did an Assassin's Creed review with them too. That was fun.
Did you like that film?
Yeah. No, I didn't. No. I fell asleep. but yeah, just wanted to get those plugs out there.
And you can follow me at Chris J. Herman on Twitter, and then you can also check out all of our other content, oneofus.net. Now, other than We Are Air, we have some great podcasts on the site.
Yeah, we need to make sure we start shouting them.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, we'll see you next week, and when we're raiding another castle. I need to come up with a call outside of some sort.
We're gonna do that.
Princess is in another castle. We'll see you next week.
You can run, but you can't hide, bitch!